God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Ephesians 1. God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, all power and dominion, and above every title that can be given, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under Christ's feet and made him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, today we're going to celebrate the ascension of Jesus. So what's there to celebrate about Christ's ascension? Christmas is clear enough. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you. That's a reason to celebrate. Good Friday is also clear. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That calls for celebrating. And finally, Easter is even more clear. He is not here. He has risen from the dead. And because I live, you will live also. Talk about a reason to celebrate. But when it comes to Christ's ascension, what's there to celebrate? Plenty. Now, I will admit that on the surface, there doesn't seem to be too much to celebrate when it comes to Christ's ascension. In fact, Christ's ascension doesn't even remotely appear on our culture's radar screen. You never hear of Ascension Day parades, nor are there any Ascension Day sales at the stores. Why, I haven't heard a word this past week about only 4 more shopping days until Ascension. In fact, you can't even use this one as an excuse to skip church. sorry, Pastor, we didn't make it to church because we visited Grandma for Ascension. No, that's not going to cut it, folks. Let's face it, in comparison to Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter, the Ascension of Jesus doesn't seem to be a very big deal. But Jesus' ascension is a very big deal, and that's what we're going to talk about today. First of all, Christ's ascension is the completion or culmination of his work to save sinners. Jesus put on the work clothes of flesh and blood to save us, and he got the job done. This is Jesus' ticker tape parade of the war hero coming home from victory down the golden streets of heaven, in which the conquering Christ, Aslan the Lion, strides victoriously across the crystal sea into the heavenly throne room and takes up his place of honor at the right hand of God the Father. The glory which Jesus always had as Almighty God in heaven, but which he laid aside and chose to not fully use it in order to take on flesh and blood, so that in weakness he could bleed and die to win our salvation. For this was a war in which shed blood wins. But now it is this glory that he takes up again in victory. The glory not only that he always had, but also the glory of having won the victory over sin, death, and the devil. Jesus, our great war hero, returns home victoriously. This is his coronation day as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Savior of the world. That's why, upon his ascension into heaven, we're told in Revelation 5 that all of heaven exploded in singing, with a song we still sing in our worship services. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, past tense, he's risen now, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and power and glory and blessing. Why? For with your blood you purchased people for God. Talk about a reason to celebrate. Secondly, Jesus' ascension and his being seated at the right hand of God. God now places everything in creation under Christ's feet. Why? Well, it makes sense. Since Jesus redeemed all of creation by his death and resurrection, the Father now gives him the honor of reigning over it as Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Savior. Ephesians 1, God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, all power and dominion, and above every title that can be given, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And God placed all things under Christ's feet and made him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. And since it is the Lord who saved us, who is now ruling over all things for us, talk about a reason to celebrate. So what's our sin? Our sin is that we often forget or take our eyes off of the fact, or we're slow to believe that our Savior, who died to forgive us and rose again to conquer all of our enemies, is in fact ruling over all things for our good. We suffer in fear with almost every apocalyptic sign you can imagine happening all around us in these COVID-19 days. But no one less than Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is right now reigning at the right hand of God over all creation. Jesus is reigning over every king, every authority, every governor, every mayor. He's reigning over the demonic and devilish beings in the spiritual realms. And he's reigning over every pestilence, every virus, every plague, flood, and fire and famine for our good. Sadly, we often give more credit to CNN or CDC than we do to Jesus Christ. But Psalm 3 promises us, "You, O Lord, are a shield around me, and from the Lord comes my deliverance." Not from man, not from scientists, not from medicines. God might use them to serve his purpose, but from the Lord comes my deliverance. But you might say, "But look at the world around me." Well, let me just say, looks can be deceiving. Our fears magnify the danger, and our lack of faith magnifies the enemy. We assume that since the world looks like it's out of control, therefore it's actually out of control. But nothing could be further from the truth. For God placed, past tense, it's already a done deal, all things under Christ's feet, and made him, past tense, to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. Talk about a reason to stop hoarding and start celebrating. Luther once explained the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," with these words: "The kingdom of God comes indeed, even without our prayers. But we pray in this petition that it would come to us also." In other words, God's kingdom's going to come, whether we believe it or not, pray for it or not, want it or not. We don't put Jesus on his throne by our prayers. He's already there. Jesus is already King of Kings and Lord of Lords, both over believers and unbelievers, the unbelievers we so often fear. Our faith no more seats Jesus on his throne than our unbelief unseats him. The danger in refusing to believe that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Savior of the world, ruling over all things for us, is that you continue to live your life in fear, worry, and dread, while your Savior Jesus is ruling over all things for you and your salvation. And by taking your eyes off of your reigning King and magnifying your enemies, you may even run the risk of abandoning your Savior and be found faithless when Jesus returns, as the Bible says, to bring salvation to all who are waiting for him. A third reason we celebrate the ascension is that when Jesus entered heaven's halls, he cast the devil out of heaven. You don't have to worry about the devil being there ever again once you and I arrive there. Up until Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, Satan was still able to enter heaven and come into the very presence of God as mankind's prosecuting attorney. to accuse and condemn humanity for their sins, our sins. And if you and I tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, we've all sinned grievously and repetitively. Romans 2, there's no one who doeth good and sinneth not. And 1 Corinthians 6, those who keep on sinning will not inherit the kingdom of God. And our predicament could only be undone with pure blood, for as I repeat, this was a war in which shed blood wins. In Revelation 12, we're told after Christ did die and rise again, we're told exactly what happened when our great war hero Jesus ascended into heaven. It says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels had to fight against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but they were not strong enough. And the devil, that ancient serpent who leads the whole world astray, was cast down to the earth and his angels with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven declare, now have come, present tense, with future implications. It's an ongoing participle. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser who accuses the brethren day and night before God has been hurled down. And we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Talk about a reason to celebrate. The fourth reason we celebrate Christ's ascension is because Jesus, our defense attorney, is now seated at the right hand of God and is pleading for our forgiveness with his blood. Hebrews 9 says, he, Jesus, did not enter the most holy place with the blood of bulls and goats, but he entered heaven itself with his own blood, and there to intercede before God on our behalf. While Satan was accusing us, Jesus strode victoriously into the courtroom with his wounds and with his blood to plead to God in our defense. And God accepted his substitutionary death as payment in full. And he exonerated us of all crimes, dismissed the case against us, and kicked the devil out once and for all. But since we still sin daily, you and I, thankfully, God still accepts Jesus' blood and his interceding for us with his blood as the full payment for our sins once and for all. The devil having lost his case, God kicks our accuser out of heaven, and he now hears only the intercession of our high priest, only the intercession of our Savior Jesus Christ. In the end, the devil can accuse us of our sins all he wants, but because of the blood of Jesus, he can't make his charges stick. Because Jesus' blood is like a Teflon coating or a bulletproof vest that causes all of the devil's shots and arrows and charges, no matter how true they are, to fall right off of us because of the blood of the Lamb. Talk about a reason to celebrate. The fifth reason we celebrate Christ's ascension is that Jesus has gone back to heaven to prepare a place for us, a grand mansion and an eternal reunion in the paradise of God. Jesus said to the repentant and believing thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Not one day, not someday, but today you will be with me in paradise. The Greek word for paradise means a kingly estate with great forests, lush gardens, beautiful rivers and streams. It's the Garden of Eden restored. In John 14, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you may be also. That's the great reunion. And last but not least, upon Christ's ascension, our Savior poured out his Holy Spirit upon his church on earth. And the Spirit is the life-giving breath of God. Jesus couldn't pour the Spirit out with the full message of salvation, of the fullness of the gospel, until the fullness of our salvation was complete. But now that it is complete by Christ's life, death, and resurrection, now Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit, who, through the Spirit-filled Word, the Spirit-filled waters of baptism, the Spirit-filled supper of Christ's body and blood, is able to raise dead things back to life. I'd like you to think of the Holy Spirit sort of like an EMT, God's EMT, sent to rescue us from our dead condition by giving us divine CPR, or spiritual mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, by using the Word of God. The Spirit breathes life into us through the gospel of Jesus, and we inhale Jesus' forgiveness, and we are brought to life. And then we exhale his forgiveness to the world. Or consider one more illustration. By Jesus' Good Friday death and his Easter resurrection, Jesus purchased $1 billion of forgiveness, life, and salvation for everyone. And Jesus has, so to speak, buried $1 billion of forgiveness, life, and salvation in everyone's backyard. But if this treasure remains buried, it won't benefit you or me or anyone. If it remains buried, you and I will still go to hell with $1 billion of forgiveness, life, and salvation buried in our backyards. As a result, Jesus, upon his ascension, pours out his Holy Spirit to unearth the treasure for us and to reveal to us what we would otherwise not know, that Jesus has purchased and given for us $1 billion of forgiveness, life, and salvation by his death and resurrection. And since we've been given more forgiveness, life, and salvation than we need for ourselves, we are sent to proclaim Jesus' all-forgiving, death-conquering reign to all the world. Folks, the kings of this earth haven't quite got the memo yet as to who's in charge, but they will, that the crucified, risen, and ascended Savior Jesus is even now and for all eternity reigning over all things for the good of his people, the sake of his church. Talk about a reason to celebrate the ascension of Jesus. Amen.